Let's pray together this morning. God, as we approach you, we think about just that phrase, amazing grace, and it's a grace that we don't even have a vocabulary for, really. Amazing seems in some ways like an insufficient word, and we'll be praising you in eternity forever for that grace that you demonstrated toward us. We pray that we would respond in a way that pleases you with our lives, with our wills, with our time and energy, all the experience that we have. We pray that we'd be put to use for your kingdom. Help us this morning to be open to how you want to speak to us each individually, a different message to each one of us, encouragement, hope, a kick maybe to get going, and we pray for our missionaries around the world, oh God, that are laboring for you, sacrificing, literally sometimes blood, sweat, and tears, working with people, having the passion and that desire to see people come to faith in you, to have that excitement of knowing you and then growing and understanding you and then sharing that news with others. We pray for them and their great success in their own lives. We pray for their families, the relationships that they have with their co-laborers. We pray for logistic things, that they would get the supplies and the food that they need and the monetary support so that they can continue to serve you in Jesus' name. We pray for this meal coming up that we celebrate together that you taught us to do. We pray that we prepare our hearts even now as we come to you, as we come to each other, as we identify ourselves with the believers that have lived throughout history, that have shared this meal together. And we pray that we recognize it and honor you in a very appropriate way. We thank you for the gifts that people bring to this ministry, and we thank you that they're used in a way that honors you. We pray that continues. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to share with you this morning from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. If you have a copy of the scriptures with you, would you turn to Hebrews, chapter 10? This particular portion of scripture, of course, has to do with the crucifixion of our Lord. Let me read through these verses, and then we'll come back and make some further comments on them. I selected this passage because I think it fits in with the Lord's Supper, and I'll tell you why I say that in just a moment. Let me read, beginning at verse 5, Hebrews 10. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" Now, if you will, drop down. In the passage, I'd like for you to look at verse 19. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now, I selected this passage, and I'm going to divide this message into two parts. Because, as you know, there are two elements in the Lord's Supper. There is the bread, and there's the cup. The bread pictures our Lord's body. The cup pictures his blood. The first part of this passage talks about his body. The last verses I read talks about his blood. Before I give you some expositional thoughts about those verses, I brought with me today, and I have often done this through the years, I brought with me a believer's hymn book. Most of you will not know what that is. Let me tell you just a little bit about how I came to appreciate a believer's hymn book. And I'm just going to use it not as my text, but just as some thoughts about the Lord's Supper. Many, many years ago, I was greatly influenced by some older pastors who were a part of the Church of the Brethren. Then I went to Jamaica, and I was invited to preach in some brethren assemblies. And they were singing songs that I hadn't heard. But boy, did they sing out. By the way, I remember those Jamaica meetings because they weren't using instruments. They sang a cappella, and I am telling you, outsang all of us here in America. I said, "Where did you get those songs?" They said, "Well, we were singing from the Believer's Hymn Book." I said, "What?" I didn't even know what it was. I got a copy. In fact, in the front it says it was a gift from George Webster of Kingston, Jamaica, October 25th, 1979. I have found through the years that this has been just been good for my heart to occasionally read a little bit from a believer's hymn book. And after I do, we'll go to our passage in Hebrews 10. I selected one I'm going to read now and one later. You will notice certain songs have to do, this one, with the Lord's Supper. Listen to the way they express it. "According to thy gracious word, in meek humility, this would I do, O Christ my Lord, I would remember thee. Thy body broken for my sake, my bread from heaven shall be. The testamental cup I take, and thus remember thee. Gethsemane, can I forget, or there thy conflict see? Thy blood like sweat and agony, and not remember thee? When to the cross I turn mine eyes, and rest on Calvary, O Lamb of God, my sacrifice, I must remember thee. Remember thee and all thy pains and all thy love for me. Yea, while a breath, a pulse remains, I would remember thee. And when, O Lord, thou comest again, and I thy glory see, forever as the Lamb once slain, I will remember thee." Now look at Hebrews 10 once again. I want to talk to you first of all about our Lord's body. Now let me give you a Bible study. Did you ever do a Bible study taking passages where one person of the Godhead is talking to another person in the Godhead? You will be surprised how many times in Scripture we are told about something maybe the Father said to the Son or the Son to the Father. It's an excellent Bible study. This is one of the passages. This passage, the first verses that I read, is a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. Let me show you. Hebrews 10, verse 5. "Therefore, when he came into the world," who is he?
Christ.
"Therefore, when Christ came into the world, Christ said." Said to whom? "Sacrifice and offering you," his Father. He said, "Father, sacrifice and offerings of lambs and so forth is not what you desire. But God the Son says to God the Father, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you had no pleasure. And this was written in the volume of the book, and I will go to do your will, O God. This is Jesus Christ in eternity past speaking to his Father. And he says to him, you're preparing me a body. And I will do your will, Father. I will go into the world to save the souls of these people, the world. And to do that, I have to have a special body. Was it special? Oh my. Jesus Christ was like no other person. He could do all those miracles because he was God. God in human flesh. Was it a human body? Yes. But he came into this world by means of a virgin birth. He didn't have an earthly father because he already had a father. He came into this world and took upon himself a human body for the purpose of going to the cross to take our curse, die for our sins, that he might save our souls from hell and take us to heaven. And saving people from hell is the most important thing.
That's right.
That's why, if you say, why would he do that? That's why. Mm-hmm. So please remember, this is God the Son saying to God the Father, so I'm going to take a body. I'll do it, Father. Mm-hmm. And I will go into the world, and I will make the sacrifice for their sins. And that's what he did. He was always God. He didn't cease being God when he came into this world. He simply took upon himself that outward form, a body, for the purpose of crucifixion and proved that he was God because he said, count 3 days, I will come back to life. Mm-hmm. Nobody else could do that.
That's right.
But God.
That's right.
So he proved who he was and went back to heaven. So my first thought is, God the Son would take up a body. And it's very clear that he would offer that body as a sacrifice for our sins. That's why. Before he left, he gathered with his disciples and said, I want you to always remember why I came here and what I did on the cross. These elements. Here we are 2,000 years later, gathering together as God's people. Do you know what we're remembering? His body. In fact, let me read these verses to you. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he said, for I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say, do this to get to heaven. He said, do this to remember me.
Yep, that's right.
Now, if you'll take that small portion and pull back, you will see a wafer there. And this wafer is a symbol of the body that God prepared for his Son and he talked about before he even came into this world. He wants us to remember the body. Let's eat together. Now look at Hebrews 10 once again. In Hebrews 10, not only does he talk about his body, and as I say, that is in verse 5, I'll read it again. And you ought to mark your Bible so that you'll remember that this is a conversation between God the Father and Son. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, Christ said, "Sacrifice and offering, Father, you did not desire." It wasn't about animal sacrifices. That was only a picture of what I'm going to do. But a body you prepared for me. Now we drop down. And notice, if you will, let's look at verse 11. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Did you get that? Those animal sacrifices could never take away sins. But this man, capital M, that's Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Get this, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. I noticed something. Did you see the contrast between those Old Testament animal sacrifices and what Jesus did? Every priest in the Old Testament stands ministering daily. May I remind you, there were no chairs in the tabernacle or the temple. There was no place to sit. Even when they built that huge temple, no place to sit. Do you know why? Because the work of the priest was never done. But look what it says. When Jesus offered one sacrifice, he went back to heaven, and guess what? He sat down. You know why? You sit down because the work is finished, right? Where is he today? Seated, he says, at the right hand of his Father. He's sitting there. The work is done. So I noticed that contrast right there. The priests are standing, but Jesus is sitting after he made the one sacrifice. And he opened a new and living way for us. How did he do it? Look at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Okay. That said, by the blood, through the veil. Oh, this says we can get into the holiest. Did you know only the high priest once a year could go into the holiest with the blood? Nobody else could get into that holy presence of God. There was a veil there. By the way, if you don't remember, that veil was 60 feet long, 30 feet high, and 6 inches thick. Do you know what happened at the moment that Jesus died? If you don't, turn to Matthew 27 and I'll show you. Turn to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 51. The verses before tell us that Jesus cried out, and verse 50 says he cried out with a loud voice and he died. He yielded up his spirit. Then, verse 51, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth quaked. The rocks were split. Graves were opened. Many bodies of saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Well, that would have been a shock to meet them. Wow. Jesus Christ, at the very moment that he died, the veil into the holiest was torn. Not by somebody, but by God. It was torn from the top right to the bottom.
Yes.
6 inches thick, no man could tear it. But when Jesus died, he opened the way. That's why Hebrews says, now that he has shed his blood, he has now opened the holiest to us. We are able to go into his presence. How wonderful that someday we will go into the very holy presence of Jesus Christ, God. We're going to go to heaven. That's amazing. I'll read it quickly again. He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he's consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. That veil in the tabernacle, later the permanent facility of the temple, that veil was a picture of the flesh of Jesus. When his flesh was torn apart and he died for our sins on the cross, at that moment the veil was rent because that was a picture of his body.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that amazing? And therefore we have access into the Holy of Holies, heaven. That's why Jesus said, he took the bread, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget the blood that I shed on the cross because I tore the veil for you to get you into heaven. So would you please pull back the other tab? And this cup pictures the blood of our Lord. Thank you for your blood that was shed, Lord Jesus. Let's all drink together.